Open your Bibles to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. I think of all the birthdays, and today I think of Thomas Hodgson, who's good grief. When I put it together and saw his age, I'm right there with him. So I've got to be careful about saying a thing. But my daughter has a birthday. It's nice to see her face here. And it's, boy, I won't go down memory lane on that one either, for all yous, but man, it's incredible to think Dad can still remember her as a baby. Yeah, I know. We won't embarrass her today, but hope she has a great day. All right. Genesis chapter number 13. The lesson this morning, I get, is on Sodom and Gomorrah, and I hope Melody gave me the right one. I asked her brother David this morning if he had a lesson. I thought, boy, I hope she gave me the right one. When I found out I was teaching, she gave me one. I didn't even bother to see if it was the actual one it was that you all were going to have. I just took for granted that's what it was going to be. So hopefully you have Sodom and Gomorrah, because that's what we're going to be doing today. And if you don't, we'll just enjoy it. Because that's what I'm going to be doing, whether you have it or not. Okay. But the first place, Sodom and Gomorrah is an interesting story. And I want to read a couple of verses to kind of get us going in Genesis chapter 13, beginning in verse number 5 and 6, and then go down to verse number 11. So in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together." And then go down to verse 13. "Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." And that word exceedingly means greatly. Very great. So they were great sinners. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for the Bible. Lord, what a privilege and honor it is to talk about the Bible. I'm thankful for it. Lord, I'm thankful for our church, for a great pastor we have. And I do pray for his safety and those traveling with him today. Pray that you bless him. Thank you for this good church family, Lord. And just help me today, Lord. Your word has plenty to say. Lord, I don't have anything, but your word does. Please bless the time, Lord, and I pray that the thoughts we share might be beneficial to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, first of all, when you talk of Sodom and Gomorrah, we talk specifically about the two major cities, but if you study history, actually, there were five cities of the plain: Sodom, Gomorrah, Zoar, and then two others, and you can find them in Genesis 14, where it refers to them, Sodom and Gomorrah being the largest and probably the wickedest. But there were five cities of the plain. But when we think of Sodom and Gomorrah, we think of several things that we associate it with. One is gross sin. We just, every time you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, obviously the name Sodom attributes it to a particular gross sin. But we think of gross sin and great sin, exceedingly great sin. You think of the judgment of God. If there's any story that you read about in the Old Testament, probably besides the flood, that you can associate with the judgment of God, it's this one right here. Because it's about the judgment of God, quite honestly. You can also associate it with, in parallel with, believers not going through judgment. Because as we know, Lot didn't go through the destruction. His family did, of course, but God brought him out of destruction, and that's a picture of us getting brought out of the tribulation by way of the rapture. So, you know, we could talk about that. We could talk about independent judgment. We could talk about the types of sin, which your Sunday school lesson goes into detail, and I'm not going to go into the types of sin. That's for another time. And Ezekiel talks about that. You can talk about the intercessory prayer of Abraham, and that would be a great thing to talk about, because the fact that Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, I believe he did, but he prayed specifically for his nephew Lot. And the Bible tells us that for Abraham's sake, that Lot was one of the reasons that, Lot was drawn, brought out of Sodom and Gomorrah is because of his uncle's prayer. Abraham prayed for him. But I want to talk this morning, and this poor guy, he gets a bad rap. But I think there's some real things we can learn from him. And I want to talk this morning about Lot, but specifically about Lot, I want to talk about the effects of a Christian coexisting with sin. Effects of a Christian coexisting with sin. And it's about the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, but to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah is to talk, quite honestly, most of the life of Lot. We do know that Lot came out of Ur of the Chaldees with his uncle, but most of his life was lived in either near Sodom or in Sodom. And he settled there, he existed there, and he dwelt there among that sin. The Bible tells us in Peter the Apostle writes that righteous Lot, his soul was vexed from day to day with their unlawfulness. And the fact that Peter calls him righteous indicates he was saved. I mean, I know I've heard people say he couldn't possibly have been saved, but you don't get made righteous to not be saved. So I don't have any problem believing he was saved. But make no mistake about it, he lived in the midst of sin. And we're going to see the results of him doing so. And there's some things that as he coexisted with it that happened. You know, he became dull to it. His senses became dull to it. He became dull to the effects of it. And worst of all, he became dull and insensitive to how God views it. You know, we have a sin nature. We're not perfect. And of course, we know we're going to sin. John tells us we're going to sin till we die, unfortunately. But we should never like it. We should never want to be there. We should never want sin to have power over us. We're saved from the penalty of sin through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we shouldn't want sin to have dominion over us, to have power over us. To do so would be a bad thing. And it would cause consequences, would cause things to happen. Now, the few things I want to talk about this morning, I would say it's not an all-inclusive list. You could probably think of some other things, but I want to talk about some things as I read this, just really stuck out to me, and share with you what really stuck out to me in this list about the effects of sin and what it caused in Lot's life. Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray in it. I already prayed once, I'll pray again. Okay? And I was going to ask God to bless, but we assume we've already done that. But let's go ahead on to the first one, down in verses 5 and 6. First thing sin did was cause forgetfulness of past blessings. In Genesis 13, 5 and 6, the Bible says, and Lot also was with Abraham and had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. When Lot came out of Ur of the Chaldees with Abraham, you know, the Bible tells us Abraham was supposed to come by himself. God told Abraham to go to a land I'm going to give you, but to leave behind your kindred, your family. But Abraham didn't do that. He brought his father went along and Lot went along. But there's no mistaking that when Lot went with Abraham, Lot was blessed because of Abraham. The Bible tells us in these passages, he had flocks and herds and tents. He had people that worked for him because they were in the people that worked for him were in contention with those people that worked for Abraham. So he had all kinds of possessions. I mean, and he had to have seen Abraham, his uncle, and saw the life that his uncle lived and how his uncle served God and how God blessed his uncle exceedingly. And Lot was a dumb man, and he had to have seen the fact that he was blessed because of his association with his uncle. But what happened over a period of time, and this is what sin will do to you, you forget about the blessings of God, that God is actually the one blessing you. Because as he dwelt with him, and his servants had strife with Abraham's service, you remember the story, Abraham told him, well, you pick where you want to go, and you go live there, and then I'll take what's left. And rather than Lot saying, no, I'm getting blessed because of being associated with you, I want to stay with you, he left. He turned his tents towards Sodom. And as he lived in Sodom, he forgot all those things. You know, I look at his life later when the angels found him when they entered the city. I believe it's in Genesis 19:1. The Bible says, and there came two angels to Sodom in the evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So he went from a successful businessman to sitting in the gate. Now, normally sitting in the gate signified that a place of position within the city or town that he was in. So I've heard people say, well, Lot was the mayor of Sodom. That could be. He was definitely some type of official, maybe a judge. I don't know. But it's interesting to me that no more reference is made of his flocks and his herds and all his possession, but just strictly he sat at the gate. Does that mean he wasn't no longer a wealthy man? I don't know. But I know the Bible earlier on talks about all he had, and after that particular passage, it doesn't talk about it anymore. So chances are, good possibility, he gave that up. He forgot about the past blessings that he had because of his uncle. He forgot about the blessings he had because God had blessed him because of where he was and who he was with and what he was around. But as we continue to look at Lot's life, we also look, and I'm not going to take the time to read the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, but you know the story how the angels came and told Lot, hey, God's going to judge your city. The wickedness has come up to God, and God's going to judge it. You need to get your family members out and go get them. And you remember the story that he went, and it's interesting to me, and I'll say more about this, but he went to get his sons-in-laws. Now, the angels told him to go get your sons and go get your daughters. And first of all, I want to say this. I don't think the angels would have told him to go get his sons if he didn't have any. Okay? But it's evident by his life that the spiritual condition of others wasn't a very big deal to him. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, because we all know how the sons-in-law reacted. Lot seemed as one unmocked. Isn't it interesting to you that he didn't bother to go to his daughters? I thought it was interesting he went to his son-in-laws. Why didn't he go to his daughters? Because even though you can be close to your son-in-laws, you're going to have a more natural bond with your flesh and blood. The Bible doesn't even record that he even went to his sons. What are you saying? I'm saying that all the time he lived in there, it wasn't important to him about the spiritual condition of his sons and daughters. And I think most of this room, you know, not everybody, but you have children. I believe that the spiritual condition of your children is important to you. But it couldn't have been to him. Well, how can you say that? Because he lived there all those years, and obviously he never one time talked about it. Because he didn't talk to any of his kids there. He didn't say, look, daughters, sons, we need to get out of here. I mean, normally, if your family members aren't right with God most of the time, because they're your family members, they'll show you some type of respect because they're your family members. His children didn't even show him that. So it's obvious to me that he gave no thought to the spiritual condition of his family the whole time he was there. And I want to point out further that when he left there with the two daughters, Do you read one time in Scripture that he was concerned about their spiritual well-being after he left? I don't. Even after judgment, he wasn't concerned about their spiritual well-being enough to take them someplace where they could grow spiritually, that they even have a relationship with God. Friends, it's the result of being around sin so long, those things aren't a big deal anymore. And you know, the sad thing is, we don't think it could happen to us. But when you get to that point, that's when it can't happen to you. Friends, let me say this. There's nobody in this room that's invulnerable, impervious to this happening to them, becoming dull to sin. We need to learn from this. I can't fathom. him not being concerned anymore about his kids' spiritual well-being than he was. But it's obvious that he wasn't. Because again, the Bible doesn't record that he went to any of his children, but he went to his sons-in-laws. And obviously his sons-in-law thought he was mocking that. He's like, oh, sure, right. God's going to judge us. What God? You've never been interested in a God. What's going on with you? Why now? Sad effect of us being around sin, coexisting with sin. Another thing I see is that when you get around that and you coexist with sin for so long, you don't want to let go of the flesh. You want to serve it all the time. How do you know that? Well, Genesis 19. Verse 15 and 16. And when the morning rose, and then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, upon his hand of his two daughters, while he lingered. Can you imagine that? Lot lingered? And again, I've heard people say, well, maybe he was lingering because he didn't want to let go of his kids. That's possible. But if he really truly believed, I mean, how could he, you say, well, maybe he didn't believe that judgment was going to happen. Well, the previous night, the angels had smote the entire town, all the men, with blindness. Now, a person could say maybe one or two of the men might have gotten something in their eyes, but to smite an entire group of men with blindness? I don't think that was just a happen chance. So I would think he'd have to, you know, kind of acknowledge maybe God. Let's put it this way. He felt their warning was strong enough that at least he went to his sons-in-law and tried to do something about it. But you get to this point here, and the Bible says that he lingered so much that they had to literally grab a hold of his hand and pull him out of the city. I tend to think it's more not because his kids were there, more because he really didn't want to leave it. He'd been there for so long, he thought, man, I'm doing real well here. Whatever he was, a judge, a mayor. I don't want to leave. I want to stay behind. I mean, maybe we can work something out. Maybe if I ask these guys enough, maybe they'll cut us some slack. Maybe they'll not quite be so harsh. I don't know. But it was evident he didn't want to leave. That's that flesh pulling after you. Not worried about the fact of the sin, even though the Bible does tell us late, and again by Peter that his soul was vexed with the sin of the men, but not enough to where he did anything about it. I mean, think for a minute right now, if you were the one in that city and you had kids there growing up in that city, and you saw the wickedness, wouldn't you be inclined to leave it? I know some in this room have actually left places to get out of places to come to a place where there's a better church, better situation. I know that. But he didn't even leave the area considering what was going on and the negative influence. He didn't even leave. Didn't even think it was important enough to leave, but rather lingered. And I further throw onto that, not only did he linger, but when the angels told him, you need to get up to the mountain to escape this, I want you to notice what he said to him. Back down in verse number 18. Verse 17, the angels tell him to get up to the mountain and escape, lest you be consumed. Verse 18, and Lot said to them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one? And I so shall live. Down to verse 22, the name of the city was called Zor. He tells the angels, don't let me escape to the mountains. Let me go. You know, one of these five cities is a little bitty one. It's okay. Let me go to that one. I mean, think of it. I mean, his whole family had been tainted by living among sin for all those years. And rather than say, no, I want to put that behind me. I don't want to be anywhere near it anymore. Well, yes, okay, you're going to destroy some of it, but let me go to another city. I want to keep some of this sin. I haven't had enough of it. Let me keep it. Let me go to this little city, Zor. Because, you see, God was going to destroy all five cities. And if you read the rest of the story, the angel said, okay, we won't destroy this one. All that had went on, but he didn't want to put the world behind him. His flesh, let me just stay in this little city. We don't want to give sin up sometimes. We don't want to give it up. The cause of living amongst us, we don't want to give it up. We see that today. People don't want to give it up. You know, I thought to myself, reading this, wow, you want to go back to Zor. Did he ever one time think maybe about going back to Abraham? He didn't. But I wonder. The prodigal son came back. Dad welcomed him with open arms. How do you think Abraham would have reacted if Lot came in? I mean, Lot because look, he left with nothing. He had nothing when he left Sodom. How do you think Abraham would react if he came back with open arms? Uncle, can I stay with you a while to get back on my feet? No thought given to that. Not even for the welfare of his remaining two daughters. The influence that godly Sarah could have had on those two daughters. Just, I know Sodom's wicked, but can't we go to this little city? Yeah, I know I've lost my son. I'm going to lose my sons. And I'm going to lose my daughters and my son-in-laws. And we're not even talking about his wife who turned around, who lingered behind and was consumed. And I've lost my wife. But I just can't let it go. How sad. How sad. Didn't even think, man, maybe I had such great blessings under Uncle Abraham. God was so good to me. Maybe I can go back. Not even a thought. So he goes to Zor, and he doesn't stay there because obviously at this point in time, he's living a life of fear because he's afraid. He leaves. What's he afraid of? Afraid of the fact that people say, well, wait a minute, you used to live in Sodom. What are you doing here? Maybe they'll kill him. So he's out of fear. He goes and lives in a cave. What a sad thing. Lived among sin. Still no thought to going back to Uncle Abraham. But I'll go live in the cave now. When you live around sin for so long and don't react to it, don't do anything with it, that can happen. And there's a lot of parallels we could draw, but I'll say this. See, I think the country we lived in was heading a lot like down the road of these guys. And people can think what they want. I don't know. I'm not up here to talk politics, but I really honestly think it's quite possible God might have divinely intervened this past week. You see, I think we as Christians, and Pastor does it, he's not afraid to preach what the Bible says, and I praise the Lord for that. But you know, we as Christians, we've got to continue to do that. I mean, Lot quit doing all those things. And he got around sin and it dulled him. And see, as a country, we were headed that way. We can't do that. Because you think, you see the outcomes, all the things that living among sin caused, all the trouble it caused this man. And some of the things he did that, like Samson, made literally no sense whatsoever, some of the decisions he made. What sin will do. What should we do as Christians? I believe time's short. You need to take advantage of it. You see, one day God's going to judge this world. It's a sure thing. The Bible says it's going to happen. It's a sure thing. And we need to make sure that we're right, that we continue to do what God wants, and then we continue to do things like take tracts out to a city that needs Jesus Christ. The only hope Lawrence has, the only hope Kansas has, the United States of America and the whole world has, is the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn them, to turn around through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the only chance they have. Lot forgot about all those things, and look at what happened. The cause, the effect, you can call it the cause, the effect, the consequence of sin. I don't call it anything you want. I call it a tragedy. That's what I call it. It's a tragedy. To start out so well and to wind up in a cave. Hope that doesn't happen to any of us. Let's continue to stick by God and stick by the things of God. Because really, quite honestly, nothing else matters. But praise the Lord. As I keep getting reminded, He's still in charge. Amen to that. So, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray.